Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is Wednesday of the 13th week of Ordinary Time, and from South Africa we hear from Father Martin Badenhorst. Father Martin is a pastor and lecturer in Scripture at St. Augustine College in Johannesburg. His preaching today is entitled Wells in the Wilderness.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. The child grew and was weaned. And Abraham gave a great banquet on the day Isaac was weaned. Now Sarah watched the son that Hagar the Egyptian had born to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. "Drive away that slave girl and her son," she said to Abraham. "This slave girl's son is not to share the inheritance with my son Isaac." This greatly distressed Abraham because of his son. But God said to him, "Do not distress yourself on account of the boy and your slave girl. Grant Sarah all she asks of you, for it is through Isaac that your name will be carried on. But the slave girl's son I will also make into a nation, for he is your child too." Rising early next morning, Abraham took some bread and a skin of water, and giving them to Hagar, he put the child on her shoulder and sent her away. She wandered off into the wilderness of Beersheba. When the skin of water was finished, she abandoned the child under a bush. Then she went and sat down at a distance, about a bowshot away, saying to herself, "I cannot see the child die." So she sat at a distance, and the child wailed and wept. But God heard the boy wailing, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven. "What is wrong, Hagar?" he asked. "Do not be afraid, for God has heard the boy's cry where he lies. Come, pick up the boy and hold him safe, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy. He grew up and made his home in the wilderness, and he became a bowman. The word of the Lord. For today's meditation, I must confess, as we say in Afrikaans, ek ploeg met 'n ander se osse. I am ploughing with someone else's oxen. Those oxen were first gathered when I was about 8 years old and half a lifetime before I was received into the Catholic Church. Dominee Petra de Klerk of blessed memory preached on this text one Sunday in the Gereformeerde Kerk Ambilo, Durban, of which I was a baptismal member at the time. The life and the emotion he brought into the text, the skill with which he drew us into Hagar's predicament, has stayed with me for a lifetime. And I can truly say that that sermon was the seed sown of my own passion for Scripture and particularly the Old Testament. There is an immense play of themes in this narrative of Hagar's plight. One of the themes in the Abraham narrative as a whole is that of names and their meanings. Abram becomes Abraham, Sarai becomes Sarah, and Hagar remains Hagar. Sources disagree on the exact source of the name Hagar or Hagar, but they do tend to coalesce around the sense of being bound or alien. Most probably both are intended. Hagar is the foreign slave. In Sarah's words, that slave girl. She and her son are here functionally nameless. Eventually, the boy child gains his identity from being left out of sight and hearing of his mother. He who is left a bow shot away becomes a bowman. Yet, even as the foreign slave in the most dire distress, the humanity of her child not even acknowledged by Sarah, Hagar and her son are visible to God and heard by God, and God responds. So Hagar, who in her grief does not want to see or hear the slow death of her son, is also thus rendered blind to the proximity of the life-giving well in the wilderness of Beersheba. Distress blinds her to the possibility of life and even the possibility of God. This, since the narrative tells us that she says to herself, implied in the Hebrew because she said, has no recipient. She is a bow shot away from the only other person in the environment. She also lifts her voice not to God, but to weep. God is entirely absent from her horizon because of her grief. And yet, objectively, the well is there all the time. Hagar's grief blinded her to the possibility of life continuing to such a degree that she could not recognize the well of water which would nurture and sustain that life. Hagar, not recognized by Sarah, becomes recognized by God. Hagar and Abraham's son, whose cry God hears over Hagar's grief, is known to us as Ishmael, or God hears. This distress of expulsion and lack of recognition is all too common in our own time. Foreigners have no name, only the collective them. Children are torn from their parents by a multitude of means legalized by national fears, and even for some, by God's command, as it seems in this text, God is on the side of Sarah. He tells Abraham, do what Sarah wants. It is only a natural reaction that we ourselves, though not motivated by the same fear or hate, would choose to place ourselves a bow shot away so as not to hear too clearly or see too closely the exploding grief of the displaced and dispossessed. It is exactly those we do not wish to see and hear in our midst that God acknowledges, directing them to the well where they can find nurture and hope. And we the bow shot away, might we not be that well in the wilderness because of our baptismal call? Amen.